Welcome to the Victory Orlando podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
Amen. Well, it is Christmas time, and this week and next week we're going to be talking about Christmas, and I hope you like my ugly Christmas sweater and you fix my bow tie here. I didn't wear a regular tie, so I wore a bow tie today. I hear that goat bell over here on my boy right there. You got to find him afterwards. You'll hear him, so it'll be easy to find him. Some of you are wondering if maybe it's your first time with us. What is wrong with these people? Why are they dressed that way? We just believe it's more fun to have fun in church, and church should be enjoyed, not endured. And so when we get together as a church family, we're going to have a good time in God's presence and enjoy the things that he gave us. So it's Ugly Sweater Sunday. So come on, y'all are looking fabulous in your ugly sweaters. I see some light-up sweaters. My boy Caleb on the keys over here, that was ugly. I had to close my eyes extra hard during worship because I'm standing right in front of him. I love you, man. This is awesome. So Christmas is awesome. I love Christmas. It's my favorite time of the year. And there's tons of Christmas greetings out there, right? There's some people are Happy Holidays. Some people are Merry Christmas folks. I'm a Merry Christmas folks. Some people are Feliz Navidad folks, right? I'm trying to work on my Spanish, and I'm not so good yet, so please forgive me. But there's all kinds of Christmas greetings, seasons greetings, right? Lots of them out there. And Christmas is a great time. We do all those fun things like that. But if we're not, we have to be careful. If you're like me, at Christmas time, you have to be careful. Like, Pastor, it's Christmas. Why do I need to be careful? That's a great question. We have to be careful at Christmas because if we're not careful, it's so easy to let the busyness, right, to let all the pressures, to let the gifts and all the things I didn't and still need to buy, all the traffic. Oh, Lord. It's easy to let those things like pressure us, right, and squeeze us. It's easy to let, you know, the credit cards and I've got to pay it here because I don't have enough there. It's easy to let that and the schedules that get out of hand and I've got this party and I got to be there and I got to do this. It's easy just to let all these things of life come in and pressure us and squeeze us, right? And we all know, we've been taught since we were little, when you squeeze something, what's on the inside comes out. So when life comes and it pressures us and squeezes us, what's on the inside of our heart is going to come out. So it's a good time to do some self-examination, right? It's interesting if you were to take a beautiful Florida orange. We have tons of great citrus here in our state and beautiful Florida oranges. If you were to take that orange and squeeze it, first things that we'd do is you'd have to get a good grip on it, right? You'd get a good grip, you start trying to squeeze it, and you try to find those soft spots, right, where you can get your fingers in there, right, so you can really get it and squeeze it as hard as you can. And the harder you squeeze it and the more it gets squeezed, it begins to look less and less like an orange. Now it starts to look like a mess. There's juice dripping all over the place. It got in my sweater cat's eye, right? Somebody else out here got pulp in their eye. And the eyes are burning, right? Things are happening, and it's like all of a sudden, then when we're done and we release our grip, we've squeezed this thing, it doesn't look like an orange anymore. It looks like a mangled mess. And sometimes we feel like that in life, right? Because there's different types of squeezings that come our way. Two different types of squeezing that happens in our own lives, and that the first one is just life, right? Sometimes life happens. All right, who knows? Life just happens. Situations come our way. Sometimes it's our spiritual enemy, the devil. He brings an attack our way. Sometimes it's not him, and we just give him the credit. Like, oh, the devil's messing with me today. No, it's just our choices. We chose to be in this place, and so sometimes it is him. Sometimes it's us. Sometimes it's just life, because we live in a fallen world, and there's just things out there that happen, and there's just situations that happen, and we get squeezed. Sometimes it's just pressures. Sometimes it's the hurts, things that we haven't dealt with. It's all different kinds of things that happen that pressure us, and what's on the inside of us is going to come out, right? Sometimes it comes out of us in outbursts. Right, some of us, it comes out in regressing back into the back corner. So leave me alone. I don't want to talk to him. It comes out in all different ways, but what's inside of us is going to come out. And the second type of squeezing that happens actually is a spiritual process. It's a refining process that happens, whereby God's Spirit, he begins to squeeze us. He begins to refine us. It's a maturing process that God wants to do inside of us. Right, it's a maturing process. Because God doesn't want us to stay babies. Aren't you glad your mama didn't raise you to wear a diaper all your life? Because that'd be a little awkward if you were in church in your ugly Christmas sweater and a diaper. Eating some peas and carrots that are smashed up, you know, out of the little jar. Aren't you? there's a maturing process that happened in our lives when we grew up and we learned how to, you know, act a little differently. We went through some seasons and we grew. We experienced some challenges that we went through and we grew. And it's the same thing that needs to happen spiritually. The problem is that too many of us want to stay a baby and we're spiritually still wearing diapers and we've walked with the Lord for years. Right? Because it's just easier to be a baby because everyone does everything for you. And I get fed this. And if I don't get fed, then I'm going to cry because I'm not happy. And if I don't get that, I just need to have my diaper changed. And I need this. And I need all. Like, God wants us to grow up and be spiritually mature so that we can begin to walk out and do the things that He created us to do. So there's a maturing process. So He begins to squeeze us in our spirit. And the reason He does that is because He knows that what's on the inside of us needs to come out. Because if we want to do what He wants us to do in our lives and have His power inside of us, those things that are in us right now can't stay there. So He's got to refine us. He's got to put some pressure on us so that we grow, right? First Peter, he talks about this process in chapter 1, the process of how gold is made and refined, right? You take a lump of gold or a bar of gold and you melt it down, right? So it no longer resembles what it used to. It gets put into the fire so intensely hot that it melts it so that all the imperfections and all the things come to the top and they're removed so that it can actually be gold and valuable. Right, and James talks about the same process. He says, hey, there's going to be a testing of your faith that happens. There's going to be pressure that's applied to your faith. He's literally saying to our faith. And he says, you need endurance, right? Because when I ran cross country, like, you need endurance at the end of the race, right? Like, right now, I feel good. I don't need endurance right now. I'm not breathing hard. I'm not out of breath. It's in those moments when your body wants to quit and you want to stop and you want to give up. That's what endurance is for. When everything's working great, you don't need endurance. You need endurance when there's pain, right? So he writes this in James chapter 1 and verse 4. He says, so let perseverance finish the work, or let endurance finish the work inside of you. Why? So that you will be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Like, this is the picture God has for us. He doesn't want us to be lacking. He wants us to grow up, to be mature, to be complete so that we can do what He's called us to do. So we're growing in our spiritual maturity in Christ. We're going to grow in that way. I'm thankful that God never runs out of grace for us in that area. Isn't that good to know that in this process, He never runs out of grace for us? In fact, it says His mercies for us are new every day. So when you woke up this morning, God had brand new mercy for you. That's good to know, because in growing, sometimes you need grace and mercy, right? Well, that's why we have to be heads up in the season. We have to be aware of these things going on around us and not be blindsided when something comes our way, a pressure or something happens. We have to be aware, which is, by the way, why we ramp up at this season our expression of generosity. Right? Because it's just amazing. It's just something amazing that happens when I take my eyes off of myself and I begin to get down where somebody else needs a little bit of help and they're in a place where they need to get pulled up. It's just amazing what begins to happen when I take my eyes off my own problems, my own situations, my own pressures, and I begin to help somebody else out of theirs, right? Because there's always somebody further down the road than me, and there's always somebody further back behind me that I can always stop and help somebody else. Doesn't matter if I have 10 cents in my pocket, there's somebody with less in their pocket and I can help them, right? So it's just amazing what happens when I begin to help and give and serve somebody else. That's why we do it so much more at this season, because there's so much more pressure that comes our way. So we're gonna give and be generous and serve even more, right? That's the way out, right? I would say it this way. You can never exhaust your own potential when you help somebody else achieve theirs. That's good. Thank you right here. I'm going to say it for everybody else. You can never exhaust your own potential by helping someone else achieve theirs. That just means, like, sometimes when we're serving and we're giving, we think that, well, I've got to make sure that I have time to do what I need. I got to make sure that I have the gifts that I need for my family. And so we think that by holding on to all that and doing all these things just for ourselves, that then we'll be able to do everything that we need. And you might in the short term, because you've achieved your own potential, but over the long term, you'll never achieve your potential because you're only focused on yourself, and you'll see your problems get bigger and bigger because you're only focused inward. But when we begin to focus outward, lifting other people up, serving somebody else. It's just amazing what begins to happen. All the problems that we're facing don't seem to be so bad anymore. Don't seem to be so big anymore. And God begins to change everything. We got to have our focus in the right way. And that's why we have all these opportunities at Christmas to do that, to give over and above of what we normally give, to serve somebody else in other ways, to come together and worship here on a Sunday morning. And next week when we have our Christmas services and Christmas Eve. So don't come alone. Next week, bring somebody who needs hope. Bring somebody who's down and out. Bring somebody who's alone, right? Don't come alone, right? Take the cards on your chair. Invite somebody. Like, we have those reasons. And we, you know, same way, we also have traditions in our families, right? Christmas traditions. Anybody got those? Okay, I know I do in my family a few. Anybody, Christmas traditions, maybe like wrapping, you know, or Christmas Eve traditions, or certain things you have to eat on certain days. You know, we have to have ham on this day or whatever it is. I love Christmas traditions, and one of my favorite Christmas traditions is baking. It gets me in the Christmas spirit. Okay, I've got baking, got butter. Everything tastes better with butter. Got eggs, I'm whipping it together, some chocolate chips or butterscotch chips, some cookies. Come on, Jesus. I got a cookie in this hand. I got some cookie dough in this hand. Praise the Lord. That's good. I know it's not good for you, but it tastes so good. It's got to be good for you. It's got to. You know what else gets me in the Christmas spirit? I'm just kidding. Those little Christmas meatballs you get at Christmas parties. You know, somebody's got a crock pot of meatballs and... Praise the Lord up here for Christmas meatballs. Another Christmas tradition that is out there is Christmas cards. Anybody? Like, Christmas cards are amazing. And I don't know if you've noticed, but since I was a kid, like, I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and like, Christmas cards were a little different back then than they are today. These days, they're like ramped up. It's a production. When I was a kid, my mom would go to Walmart, and she would buy a pack of 15 Christmas cards in a box, right? And they're pre-made, and you never knew what was going to be on the picture of the card. It could have been like a wise man scene riding their camels and the stars up over there. And it was a, you know, wise men still seek him card. And then the next card was a, you know, a little dog on a snow hill with a scarf and a Santa hat on. You know, it was like, just could have been what everything. And what you did was you would just sign your name on the card and put it in the mail, right? And it was like family and friends. So if you weren't a family or friend in my address book that I got out, my Rolodex, right, then you didn't get one because it didn't have Instagram followers. I didn't have mailing lists. It was just family and friends. That's why there's 15 in the box, right? These days, it's like, whoa, like, it's a production. Like, where are we going to take the picture? What are we going to wear? Are we going to match? Do we got all the pets? Is everybody in there? Is it the right time of the day? Is it golden hour? I can't take my picture till golden hour. Like, we got, is it better than last year's Christmas party? Do we have the right props? No, that was last year's Christmas prop, right? And I'm even amazed. I always laugh at the ones that are like, they're in the middle of a field somewhere surrounded by Christmas trees on a couch. Like, wow. Where did that couch come from? Let me just pick it up. We'll take it back and throw it in the Honda. Come on. Like, just couches out in the middle of fields. It's awesome. It's, it's fun to laugh at. And I mean, Christmas cards are great. I love them. Please keep sending them. They're great. They're awesome. Your families are beautiful. I love seeing them. So please keep sending those. It's just fun to laugh at sometimes, you know, those types of deals. And so, I mean, some people do like newsletter styles, and those blow me away. I'm like, wow. Got a pet and just life update all at once. It's awesome. Christmas cards. They're wonderful. They're awesome. But, you know, as we think about the Christmas story and all the things going on, the Christmas story is so beautiful. You know, what is Christmas? I think if that's a question that the world is asking, we see it evidenced in people in their shopping. What is Christmas? Is it movies? Is it carols? Is it, can I do all the events? What is Christmas? And so I think it's important for us, even in the familiarity of the stories, that we dig a little deeper and see what God wants to speak to us. So I want to do that today and look in Luke chapter 2. If you've got your Bible, you can turn there, Luke chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 8. If you've got the YouVersion Bible app, you can do that. And I can see your beautiful face because your face will be glowing from your screen. I love that. It's awesome. We're going to start in Luke chapter 2. And what's interesting about the story is we see the shepherds, and here they are. And to set the scene for you, you know, it's been since Genesis chapter 3, since the beginning, the fall of man, that mankind has been separated from God. And it's been since that day, since the very beginning, that all of creation and all of heaven has been eagerly awaiting the news. God, what are you going to do to set things right? God, how are you going to bring mankind back to where we can be in relationship with them? How are you going to do it, God? What's the plan? What are you going to do? And all of creation and heaven has been waiting and watching, and all of heaven would have seen the agony and the suffering that mankind would have gone through, all the pain that we deal with. They would have seen him be like, God, what's the plan? What are we going to do about this? They've been waiting and waiting and waiting until the day that God says, it's time. Let's tell them the plan. Here we pick it up in verse 8. It says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And as I read it, it's so familiar, isn't it? We all know it. Like, you instantly start hearing Charlie Brown or somebody in your head reading the story. So don't let the familiarity to this story, like, override what God is speaking to us today, right? Because, you know, as we look at the story, we see the shepherds. Where are they? They're out in the fields. They lived there. They're shepherds. That's what shepherds do. They don't live in the city in a house. They live out in the field in their tents. And when you look at the terrain around Bethlehem and in that area, you'd see that it's rock. And it's hilly and mountainous. It's not just like a field out there where they could just like sit and watch all the sheep. Like, they were moving around. They were taking care of the sheep. And that's what they did. That was life. They're out in the field living their best life because that's all they know. They've never lived any other way. Their dad lived that way and taught them to live that way. Their grandfather lived that way. Like, that's the history of their family, living in the field with the sheep 365 days a year, 24/7, right? That was life. And here they are. And part of that life, if somebody does it during the daytime, somebody does the night shift, right? And all the night shift people, right, they wish they were sleeping during the night, right? But somebody's doing that. They're out there watching the sheep. But check out what happened. It says, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, just like out of nowhere, right? Just like in the dark. Here's the shepherds. Like, it's dark out there. Like, when you go camping and there's no city lights around you and it's just dark, all you've got is campfire light, right? And it's dark, right? And all you can hear is sheep. Ba, ba, meow, meow, ba. I had to throw that one in there. It's just dark, and they can hear the sounds of sheep. And all of a sudden, like, boom, like an angel appears out of nowhere, like just an angel. Can you imagine that scene from it? And it says, the glory of the Lord shone around him, and they were afraid, right? Yeah, I would be afraid too, because it's dark and right. And when you turn on the light, like in the middle of the night, you know, and you get up to go to the bathroom and it's been dark, and you turn on that little light and you're like, oh, turn the light off, it's so bright, right? Just imagine that same thing. This angel appears and light just breaking out all over the place. Just crazy light dancing all over the place like a strobe light. Some of you are too young to know what a strobe light is. I always wanted one when I was a kid in the 80s, right? When you turn a strobe light on, it looks like things in the room are like moving slow, like I never had one, so I would just like flick the light on and off and like move funny, like tink, tink, tink. You can imagine that. That's TMI for you, but an angel appears to them, and light, just crazy light breaking out, dancing all around them, right? And the angel's there, and just imagine that. These shepherds just doing what they do every day, never imagining that this could have happened to them. But they were Jewish boys, so they would have been taught about Gideon and how the angel appeared to him and Abraham and how all that stuff, and how angels appeared to all their fathers throughout their families, right? But never would they have imagined in their wildest dream, just a shepherd out here in the thing. People don't even like it when we go into this, like, well, they want us to stay out here, and here they are, and this angel appears to them, and I can just imagine, like, the spiritual high they must have felt at that moment, right? Like, if an angel appears to you, be like, you'd be spiritually set for life. Like, I don't know what happened to y'all, but an angel appeared to me. Where were you? I saw one. Did you see one? Like, you'd just be flying high spiritually, right? And here they are, and the angel appears to them. And not only that, but then he begins to talk to them. And the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. And, you know, like, his words there are so important. Don't be afraid. Because the shepherd's response, we mock them sometimes thinking, they're afraid of an angel. Like, I wouldn't have been afraid. Okay. That's why every time an angel appears to someone in Scripture, his first words are, hey, please don't be afraid. Like, yeah. It's an amazing sight. Here, the angel is bringing the greatest news ever told. The greatest news ever. And the angel is telling it to him, hey, don't be afraid. I'm bringing you good news. It's going to result in joy all around the world. And then he tells them the good news. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Now, the angel is not using words, just any words. He's using specific words because these Jewish boys would have been taught since they were little about the Messiah, and that one day the Messiah will come and he will save Israel. He'll set us free. And so they would have been taught. They would have been taught to even look for the Messiah, that he's going to come one day. They would have been taught all about it. So the angel is using these words purposely because it's something they understand. It's something they know that'd be like, that lets them know that everything is about to change. That God is bringing this. He tells them the Messiah is being born. And then he gives them the details of what's happening. He says, this will be the sign. This is how you'll know. You'll find the baby wrapped in clothes lying in a manger. And then this word suddenly. There's a whole message in that word suddenly right there. That's for later. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel. Angel didn't come alone. He brought some friends with him, right? He brought some friends. This word right here, this phrase, a great company, another translation says a great multitude, but it's translated, it means an uncountable amount of hosts. An uncountable amount of hosts appeared with this angel. Wow. Think about that. I was studying this passage this week, and there's one theologian who said his thinking was that every angel in heaven was there in that moment. That's amazing to think about. Just the scene that was happening, right? So that, like, let's just imagine for a minute. The shepherds are out in the field. Angel appears. Boom, there he is. Lights everywhere. It's almost like there's a curtain behind him, you know, and the light from the zillion angels hiding behind the curtain is like trying to break through all around, right? And I just imagine the scene before before the angel came down to heaven. He's like, all right, the Lord, the Father, he said, today's the day, so here's the plan. Here's what we're going to do. Everyone, listen. He's like, I'm going to go down first. I'm going to calm the shepherds down because they're going to freak out when they see me. I'm going to calm them down, okay? So just I'm going to calm them down. Then I'm going to give them the good news that Jesus, the Messiah, is coming. Then I'm going to give them the details. This is very important. Wait for my cue. Listen, wait for my cue. Read my lips. Wait for the cue. I will let you know when to start singing. So here, the angel goes down there. He's with the shepherds. He's calming them down. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news. It's going to be great. It's going to be joy for all the people, right? Here's how it's going to happen. He starts giving them the details. You can just see that all the angels, like, behind the curtain, like, is it time yet? It's almost time. It's the time. They're so excited because they've been waiting. They've been waiting. They're so excited. And all of a sudden, just one angel's like, pull the curtain. Right? And there's the angels. They're out there and they're singing, right? Crazy scene. The one angel's like, wait for the cue. But they start singing. It says they were praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests. Man, pull the curtain. Jesus, they knew Jesus was about to burst on the scene, and they couldn't contain it anymore. Jesus, the Messiah, was coming. Oh, it's an awesome thing to think about. But what's interesting when we read this next part, it says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. I would say, bro, will you pinch me? Because this, I think I just saw a zillion angels. But it's just like they were full of faith in that moment. They were ready for it. It's almost like their hearts were ready to receive the message. What's interesting is that we can be ready to not receive the message, and we can miss Jesus. Think about the shepherds for just a moment. What if they had gotten, you know, frustrated with their place in life and what they were doing? What if they have gotten frustrated in their field? Like, those sheep over there, they look a lot whiter than my sheep. My little sheep look kind of dirty. I'm just going to go over in that pasture. I feel like God is leading me there. And they would have missed Jesus in that moment. What if they had gotten their hearts had become hard? Somebody in the city had said something mean to them. They just think we're stupid shepherds. And they'd gone into their tent early and they would have missed it because their hearts had become hard. They had held on to unforgiveness. God wants to do great things in us. He has great things for us, but there's opportunities. There's an opportune time, Scripture tells us. And if we don't act in those moments, we can miss out on what God wants to do. If we're not ready, if we haven't postured our heart in the right way before him, we can miss out on the blessing that he has for us. We can miss out on the assignment that he has for us that can affect the destiny of so many around us. We can miss it if we're not careful, if we haven't prepared our hearts. Scripture, the way scripture reads, they were ready for it. It says they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph. They didn't wait around. Man, something happened and they were ready. They went right to it. They didn't waste time, and they found Mary, Joseph, and the baby and the lion in the manger. It's the greatest news ever. It's the greatest news ever. Thank God for Jesus. Can we just thank him? Thank you, God, for sending Jesus. That's good right there. Tell your neighbor, say it's good news. It's good news. That's why he came. He came to save us from our sins. Matthew chapter 1, he said, this is why he came, to save people from their sins. That's why he came for us. It's good. That's the good news right there. But what we have to understand is that in the season, with all the pressures, with all the things coming against us, that we have to guard our hearts. Simply put, if we don't protect our hearts, if we don't take care of this precious thing, then it will get us in a place where we're not ready and we can miss what God wants to do. Proverbs chapter 4 says, above all else, guard your heart. So guard your heart above your opinions. Guard your heart above your money. Guard your heart above your status or your position in life. Guard your heart above anything. Everything else, guard your heart. Why? Because out of it comes all the issues of life. Everything flows from your heart. So we've got to guard it. We've got to protect our heart. And if we're not, our hearts can become hard. Our hearts can become poisoned. Our hearts can become callous to the things of God. That's why we see people sometimes when somebody's needing help and they're like, because their hearts have become hard. We've got to allow our hearts to stay prepared so we don't miss what God wants to do. It's this growing up process of allowing God to work in us. That's why we see sometimes people pulled in so many directions, right, in life, and they can't be, you know, like sometimes even in church, right, we pray for a church. God, I need a church family, and I need people that can surround me. And then we get in that place, and we get planted in that place, right, because those who are planted in the house of God will flourish. And we get in that place, and then pressures start coming. Things, sometimes good things come our way that pull us out of places that God has put us, right? It's not always a bad thing or a sin. Sometimes it's just something that's good, but it's not what God spoke to us. It's not this thing that he gave us. And then we start uprooting our family, maybe for a job or for whatever else. And now we're not planted anymore. And we're wondering why there's now chaos all around. And it's because God put us in a place and he said, hey, stay there and I'll provide everything that you need, right? But we've let pressures, we've let things come into our hearts, hurts, pains, all these things come in, and it's hardened our heart. And now we're no longer allowing the word of God to lead us and direct us in the place where he's called us to be. We've got to allow the Spirit of God to begin to work inside of us. It's like being in the ready position. I played sports growing up, and they always taught us, like, be in the ready position. When the play starts, like, you're in the ready position, right? You're on your toes. You're ready to move. Because when you're in the ready position, like, you can move. You can adjust quickly wherever you need to. But if you're just, like, sitting back on your heels, or you got your hands in your pockets, I'm not paying attention, and that play comes your way, like I'm not going to be ready to do what I need to do. It's the same thing with our hearts. We've got to keep our hearts in the ready position. We've got to keep our hearts it positioned right before the Father, or we're going to miss out on what God wants to do. And here's the shepherds and the angels bringing the message of good news to them. He's bringing good news to them. And I want to look at a couple of phrases that the angels spoke to them for that are keys for us to keep our hearts prepared, right? Because if we need to keep our hearts ready, if we need to stay in this place, how do we do it? And there's lots of ways through scriptures to do it. Gives us lots of different ways. I want to highlight three from scripture that we're going to work on to keep our hearts prepared. Here's the first one. The angel said, do not be afraid. That's good right there. Do not be afraid. I love that it's the first thing that he said. And what we need to understand is that it's not a separate thought from the good news. Okay? The very first thing he said is part of the good news. So part of the good news is we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to live with fear coexisting in our lives and our thoughts and our minds and our hearts. We don't have to coexist with anxiety and depression. Man, sometimes people are like, my anxiety is flaring up. Listen, if we are children of God, you do not have anxiety. Anxiety comes from the pit of hell, and it's not yours unless you take it and hold on to it. So don't say, oh, it's mine. No. Listen, what's yours is peace. Peace that passes all understanding. He's the Prince of Peace. That's what he came to bring us. So why don't we begin to say, my peace is in the... I'm going to start preaching if you... We live in a world that's full of fear and celebrates fear and packages up fear and sells it to us in our music, in our movies, in our television. And we gladly go and pay to partake of something that Jesus died to free us from. He came to deliver us from those things. And we just live in a world, even in our own city, like our theme parks, we have months where we celebrate fear. Like, we have to be careful to guard our hearts, or we will easily slip into a fear lifestyle. And then we'll be spend all of our time praying, God, deliver me from this depression and this fear and this worry and this anxiety. And he said, I did that. I did that. Don't keep bringing it into your life. Get rid of it. Get deliverance from it, and don't go back to that. I got more for you to do than just to pray that you don't have to worry about tomorrow. So he said, don't worry about tomorrow. It'll take care of itself. Seek my kingdom first. Come on, that's good right there. He came to deliver us from fear. Psalms 34:4. He says, I sought the Lord and he answered me. That's celebration right there. So you know when you seek him, he's going to answer you, right? And then he says, and he delivered me from all my fears. Come on, that's a good place to say amen right there. We all deal with it. Fear is going to come and attack us. So you need to understand the difference between fear coming at you as an attack and living with fear, like constantly having fear around you, right? Because it's going to come. We're all going to have to deal with it, but not all of us are going to hold on to it in our lives, right? Right? We don't have to live with fear. We don't have to live with anxiety or depression, but some of us will. Some of us will. Same thing with healing. Jesus died so that we could all be healed, but not all of us will. There's some steps we have to take. There's a process of freedom that we have to come into so that we don't live our lives bound up. We've got to begin to get in this place where we're freed from fear, right? How do we do that? Our world is obsessed with finding ways to get out of fear, and we see it. People pay money for whatever, or try to find it in pills, try to find it in a bottle, trying to find it in advice from a person or a relationship or whatever else, but it's only found one place. If you want to be free from fear, it's found at the feet of Jesus. It's only found in his presence. That's where freedom and deliverance is. It's only found there. So if you need it, you need to get in his presence. That's why it says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So how do I get the joy of the Lord? In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. You need joy? Right? Joy is from the inside. It's not anything that can be bought. Right? Happiness can be bought. Happiness comes and goes because it's based on externalness, circumstances that happen to me that make me happy or sad. Joy comes from the inside. It comes from the Lord. So if you are tired, you need strength. You need joy. You need strength from his joy in his presence. If you need freedom from fear and anxiety, from depression, you need freedom in his presence. One of my favorite passages of scripture is Isaiah chapter 61. It's powerful. It's powerful. It's a declaration of what Jesus would do. And in fact, when he was in the synagogue, he read this passage from Isaiah 61. The story is in Luke 4. You can read it. And he reads this and he sits down and he says, today the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Basically, he's saying, hey, today I'm letting you know why I'm here. So I want to read this today so that you know what Jesus came to do in your life, but also what he's called us as his followers, as his believers, to bring to other people, right? He says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. God's Spirit is on you. He's anointed you because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. So if you've got a broken heart today, it's good. I've got good news for you. He's here. The healer is here. To proclaim freedom for the captives and release from the darkness for the prisoners. So if you're in the darkness of depression, he came to bring you release from that, to release from that. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion and bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of despair. And he came to give us life. He came to bring us freedom. So let's not be afraid. Let's bring our fears. This Christmas season is the season of laying down those fears at the feet of Jesus. Like, we're not going to be people who are afraid. We're not going to worry about things. We're going to lay those at the feet of Jesus, right? Even scripture tells us, cast all your cares, your fears, your worries on him.
because he cares for you. So when they come, that's what we do. God, I thank you. I don't have to be afraid about if I'm going to make it to the end of the month, if I'm going to have enough. God, I thank you that I don't have to be afraid for my family. God, I thank you. I don't have to be afraid about what's going to happen. I'm going to cast these cares on you. I know you care for me. And it starts right there. Here's the second phrase that the angel said. He said, I bring you good news. If we're going to guard our heart, keep our heart postured in the right place, we have to understand that it's good news. It's good news. Say, it's good news. Now say it this time like you mean it. It's good news. Yeah, it's good news. It's good news. I used to have this news app on my phone. Maybe y'all have one like that. And I would get on there every day and I would read the headlines and I felt like I wanted to stay up to date on current events. And that's great. You know, we need to know what's going on in the world around us. But for me, it got to this place. Now I have these notifications popping up. And it became this thing, like I noticed, like, man, these are becoming more and more like sad, like terrible things happening or whatever, all this stuff. And I just, isn't it funny like how one little thing can change everything in our day? You can be having your best day ever, right? Like the birds are singing. You're singing a little song on your way to work and the birds are flying. It's like a Disney movie and you're going to work. And you've got your favorite lunch with you and everything is working right. You've got a cat sweater on and you just, you know, everything is great. And you get one email or one text or one lack of a notification or not enough people liked something or somebody didn't say something to you about your outfit when you came in or whatever it is. One little thing can just change everything, right? Isn't it just funny how where we get our source from, where we get our news from is so important, right? Like so many people just spend their whole lives up and down. It's like a yo-yo, right? Yo-yo, up and down, right? I'm happy. No, I'm sad. I got the job I wanted, and now the boss wants me to come in at 8 o'clock. I hope I have, God bless me this month, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I just don't know if I'm going to make it. What if we don't have enough to eat? Just up and down, because our lives are not, we haven't based our lives, we haven't guarded our heart to understand the good news and based our lives on what the Bible says and on the truth that's within there. And if we're not careful, it can skew our vision even of how we perceive the sovereign truth of God's word. Because we haven't guarded our heart to what the good news says. Right? We've got to remember that it's the gospel. It's the good news. We are citizens of heaven. We are not citizens of this world. Our source cannot come from this world. Our source has to come from heaven. So I have to re-understand that the news that I'm hearing on this earth is just information. But my source is from heaven. That's why the good news is that by his stripes I'm healed. The good news says that he will never leave me or forsake me. That's the good news, right? The good news says that I have a sound mind, that I don't have fear. He didn't give me a spirit of fear. He gave me power, love, and a sound mind. That's the good news. The world is not my source. The world can't understand it. The good news is that when I give, I'm blessed. I'm blessed to be a blessing. That's the good news right there. One of my favorite pieces of the good news that I say every day is this, that just like Moses, in my old age, my vision will not be diminished. That's the good news. I know, well, when you get older, you're just going to need more glasses, more contacts, and you're going to, no, the good news is that my vision's not going to diminish. You can decide for yourself what you're going to have. I've just decided my source comes from the book. That's what we're going to have. That's the good news. Here's the third phrase is this. I love this one. So good. So good. Third phrase. Born to you this day is a Savior. It's the Lord. The Messiah is born. Right? He's born for the whole world. He's going to bring joy to the whole world. But we have to not overlook that part of that phrase where he says, born to you this day. Right. If you miss everything else, yeah, he's born to save the world. But listen, he's born for you. Caitlin, he was born for you. Nelsa, he was born for you. Yeah. Right. He was born for us. Just for us. Just for you. Hannah, he died for you. Right? Jay, he lives today for you. It's just for us. Like we have to get this in our thinking. Like the good news is for us, because if we don't guard our heart in this way, it's just easy for us to slip into this lie that says that, well, God might not love me today because whatever, or I got to do this so that God loves me some more. Listen, that's a lie from the enemy. Because
we haven't guarded our heart in this way to understand the love of the Father. That's Christmas. That there was a Father that loved his kids so much that he gave them the only gift that they actually needed. That's the gift of eternal life for you, right? That's Christmas. So we have to guard our hearts in this way to understand, like, you can't make God love you. And you can't make him not love you. You can't make him love you more. Like, he loved you the most when he sent Jesus, and it hasn't changed today. He loves you the same today. Like, it's good. You can't make him love you more than he does at this very moment right now. Doesn't matter how many prayers you say or how much you give or how much. Like, he loves you. That's good news right there. He loves us that much. We've got to guard our hearts in this way. That's why he loves us that much. That's why the only adequate response from us, we don't have an adequate response to that, right? Because we learn to love each other more and more. And if we're not careful, we learn to love God the same way. But the only adequate response from us is just say, God, I give you all of me. It's not enough, but I just give you everything, give you every part. Have your way in me. Like, that's the only response that we have that is adequate. And we just come to this place where there's a fork in the road where he says, hey, is there going to be room for me in your heart? Or is it just going to be hard? Or are you going to let other things in there? Because sometimes what happens, we let him in, right? We let him into our heart. And I don't know if you've ever tried to fit more stuff into your car or into a closet. I have a closet in my office where I try to fit too much stuff into it. And what happens, right? What we do, right? It's like, I gotta push this back a little bit more. Push it back. Now try to push this thing in here. Whew. That was hard work, but I got it in there. I fit it all in there. I can fit it all in, God. And God is saying, no. It's just me or all that. That's why he says, above all else, guard your heart. We gotta keep our hearts guarded in this way, or we'll miss out what he wants to do in us. We'll miss the simple fact of just how much he loves us. Right? That's why so many people enter into this thing where they're trying to prove it. You can't. It's salvation is just a gift. It's just a gift that we receive because of the love of our Father and what he did for us. So why don't we just, in this moment here together, why don't we just begin to pray, and just all across this room, if you bow your heads and close your eyes, just begin to talk to the Father. Maybe you're here today and have been struggling with fear. Seems like fear, you feel like fear owns you. Depression feels so heavy over you. Today is a day of freedom.